It's a big, bright, beautiful day. And this is the news, according to me. Well, good morning. It is Wednesday morning, October 5th, 2022, 8:29 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I had a late night last night. It wasn't as late as it could have been. We were able to get some work done early again, and it looks like today might be the same way. I might actually be able to get in a decent hour. I might even actually get a bit done before supper time, or at least a late supper or dinner, wherever you are in the world that you call supper, you know, soda, pop, whatever you call, you know, Coke, whatever you call it, refreshing beverage. Some people call it soda. Some people call it pop. Some people call it soda pop. Carbonated drink, whatever you do, it's wherever you are in the country. Whether you have your frappe, latte, whatever it is. And speaking of cup, I don't have a cup this morning. I have a thermos, and in my thermos I have some. I have apple cider, but I also have a backup here with some sweet tea. The sweet tea flows down here in Atlanta like honey from a tree. Honey doesn't really flow from a tree, but it might, I guess, if there was, yeah, it could, I guess. That doesn't grow on trees, but the bees could make their hive in a tree. I guess it could flow from a tree. I guess that could happen. But I don't want to be, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a marine biologist, so I don't know anything about trees. I'm not a doctor or a lawyer, by the way, either, or a financial counselor or a, I'm really just a guy with a microphone, and then right today is not even a very good microphone. I'm traveling, so it's, you know, I'm here in Atlanta. Speaking of being here in Atlanta, I was really blessed yesterday. Walking over to there's a little Ready Mart type. It's like a convenience store here with gas station. Like it's real close to the hotel. Walked over there, and this guy. Gonna get a sandwich at the sandwich shop that's in there, and I ended up walking past this guy. He bless his heart. I'm not from the South, so when I say bless his heart, that's not demeaning. This older man was at the gas pump, and he was taking his time doing stuff, getting his car all ready to go. He had part of his car was all duct taped up, trying to keep it all together. It was nice and clean. It wasn't, it was just, obviously he was just, doing his best. He was elderly gentleman. And he's out there kind of, it's something it was a big event for him to go to the gas station and get some gas and probably had to take out a loan, spend half of his life savings on this gas tank. And then he's cleaning up his car a little bit and cleaning some things out of it, and keeping it straightened up. So I went in and got my sandwich, and in the amount of time that it usually takes people to put gas in their car and leave, I came back and he was still there. When I came out, I heard this really loud radio. Obviously, somebody had the radio on; they were listening to talk radio, and it was conservative talk radio. I'm not going to say who was on the radio. I'll just say it was conservative talk radio, and it was very loud. All the windows were open on the car, obviously, and it was just very loud. Everybody in the parking lot could hear this, what was going on, very clearly. Very good sound system in the car. As I walked back over towards the hotel, I noticed that this dude was still there, and it was coming from his car. Now, what blessed me about this was, the man is of... he's a person of color, let's just put it that way. Now, in this community here in Atlanta, in this particular community, let's just say he's being very bold doing that in this community. There are, in the front of this gas station, in the yard, about every 5 feet, there are Stacey Abram, or there were Stacey Abram campaign posters. Now, what's interesting is it's just on this particular gas station's yard. Now, I was here 2 weeks ago, and they were every 5 feet. I came here this week, and there's about three left. Most of them are laying across the street, half a mile down the bridge. Obviously, people have been, I don't know if they're using them for something else or if they just don't like her here. I don't see them hardly anywhere else. I walk and jog up and down this area, and I don't see any place else really supporting her or allowing them to put stickers, at least, in the, or their posters around. That's usually a huge sign. I want to say, of course, she blames the voting system for her loss, and she says that it was an illegitimate election and that she should be governor, and she doesn't accept the results. She's never conceded the election. Which is, you know, that's a dangerous, you're a dangerous insurrectionist if you don't. She believes the big lie, apparently. She's perpetuating this lie, and she's probably going to, you know, mobilize people like Crazy Marina or whatever her name is from Hawaii, who says this is literally a call to arms. When you say something like that, this is literally a call to arms. This is a call to arms. This is literally a call to arms. Does she even know what she's saying when she says that? It's one thing to say, this is a call to arms. This is to ideologically to say that. But when you say this is literally a call to arms, and less than 2 weeks later, a pro-life lawyer gets shot and killed. We don't see any commissions forming around that, any investigations forming around that. When we have about 30 whistleblowers from the FBI and they start slamming and slandering them, one key FBI whistleblower is not protected at all. And the FBI's, you know, they're basically punishing them for their whistleblowing activity. Where's Adam Schiff at? Who was so adamant about protecting whistleblowers? We have to protect the whistleblowers. Couldn't even let their identity be known. Wouldn't even acknowledge who the person was or where they worked. Speaking of whistleblowers and leakers, this is totally kind of dead on the other side of the spectrum. Whatever happened to the leaker at the Supreme Court? Never heard him. Well, we're going to investigate this ourselves. Very quiet, crickets, nothing. I would say it's criminal activity. Now, interestingly enough, what is he? He's the head honcho over there, Roberts. He just let go a. They had a resignation from someone who's been serving with him since I don't know when, 2001 or whatever. And it's 2003 probably. And so this guy's been serving with him for a long time as his head right hand man. Somebody on his council or whatever. And the guy's 70 years old, so it's time for him to be done. However, there are people who are well into their 70s. Look at Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She was very old. And on the Supreme Court, not just an assistant. So that these are lifelong appointments. These people tend to stay with their people for a long time. You know, there's not a lot of turnover. It's not like a revolving door in the place. It's a cushy job, and you get in there, and you're set for life. The interesting thing is this guy, he resigned. Well, he's old enough that it could look normal. He's 70 years old. He's going to retire. Or is that the guy, and they ask him to, see, they figure out that he's the one who did the leaking, and they just decided, you know what, it's, I think you, should, you need to go, you need to resign, or, you know, we're going to make this public. I don't think we're going to hear any more about it. I don't think we're ever going to hear who the leaker was unless this guy comes out himself and admits it. Now, whether he's the guy or not, I don't know. Hard to tell. I'm not a detective. That's one of my list of things that I don't do, that I'm not, I am not. All I can do is speculate. I'm a good speculator. I have spectacles that I wear. It makes me speculation. It's just a speculation at this point. Spectacular speculation. It's very special, spectacular, speculation. There's a lot of words that begin with S that you could use in this particular line of ridiculousness. So I have, this kind of stuff goes on. The double standards and the way the media is so slanted is just, it just goes, sometimes it goes beyond belief. I have to shake my head, even though I expect it. It still surprises me sometimes, or at least it's unnerving. You know, it's like picking the scab on a wound. I don't know, maybe not. I went too far there with that one. But that does happen, though. I won't get into that. That's too much of an analogy. That's good tea, right? Let's just change the subject. That's good tea. I like pie. So we have some stuff, weird, interesting things going on. But the battle of the judges seems to be happening here with between Trump's legal counsel, the judges, and the DOJ and the FBI. And, of course, NARA, the National Archives, whatever it is, NARA, however you want to pronounce that. Now, this is, there's like 100, exactly 100 documents. There's, who knows, probably 99 or 101, who knows what it is. There's this big wrestling match going on between the special master over the case and the judge that's presiding over the case. This is like a arm wrestling match here as to who has the authority to do certain things. Now, one of the things that they're doing, it's hard to understand this. Of course, the left, the media, the leftist media, has come out and said, well, I guess, you know, rule of law doesn't matter anymore. All of a sudden, they are all for the special master because the special master came out with some rules and some, you know, recommendations on platform and all this kind of stuff, how they're going to go about doing the process here. One of the things that they are talking about is that Trump needs to sign off and verify that they have all the documents. Well, this is the way they're wording it is a trap. What they're actually doing they're saying that, well, we want you to verify that these are all that we have all the documents now. Well, he could have a note in his pocket from something he wrote something a long time ago, and he's got it in his desk. And they're going to come back and say, that's a document. That's a presidential document. You said you had all the documents and you lied. You lied to the FBI. Now you're going to be indicted for lying to the FBI. Remember, how many people have they put in prison for lying to the FBI? Not for a crime committed, not for a crime outside of a process like that. If you don't remember General Flynn, that's what they nailed him for. Martha Stewart actually didn't get arrested for insider trading. She got arrested for lying about it. There was a process crime. The FBI can lie to you. You can't lie to the FBI. I just, those kinds of standards really bother me. It's really troubling when they're able to get away with things so blatantly like that. So the argument here is that they want Trump to verify that they have all the documents, And they're saying, the legal team is basically saying, no, the burden of proof is on you. You need to prove your case against Herod. This is not, you're trying to get him to prove his innocence and to verify his innocence and to all, innocence of, first of all, what's the crime that's been committed here? This is a show trial of, it's like a civil trial, like almost like something that would normally be in, like, what do they call it? The little misdemeanor court type thing, small claims court. And they're taking it to a national, federal level. Ridiculous amounts of money. And here's the really sad part about this that nobody talks about. The only people who win in these situations, of course, now they're not, the FBI is saying, no, Trump, if he wants to have a special counsel, he has to pay for it. The FBI is not going to pay for that. You guys are the ones that are bringing charges. It's you guys should at least share the expense of this thing. And this is the sad part about this is that the lawyers are the ones who are making just all kinds of money off this whole stupid thing. They're coming out smelling like a rose with all the lawsuits. The New York lawsuit, I think there's a couple other lawsuits, big high-profile lawsuits against Trump right now. And it's all just lawyers making money, hand over fist. They're draining and making Trump pay for everything. And, of course, then they go after the lawyers, which makes it hard for any lawyer to want to even take up Trump's case. And they're claiming that he stiffs his lawyers. That's not what's happening. Those rumors are really off. There'd be much more going on there. The problem right now is that the DOJ is going after the lawyers individually, personally. It's like they don't do anything wrong. I mean, talk about ridiculous code of ethics here. You've got individuals within the FBI who are lying on a FISA document to get a warrant to spy on someone knowingly. Let's look at Carter Page. Let's look at the whole thing here with this whole Carter Page thing real quick. Carter Page was an informant at one time, I think for the CIA. Carter Page was working for the Trump campaign. He was their inside man. Now, unknowingly, as far as we know, Carter Page, they all of a sudden came up with this idea that Carter Page was potentially an operative to Russia. So we have to get a FISA court warrant to spy on Carter Page. Carter Page has never been even interviewed by the FBI. He was never charged with anything. He just happened to be within two arm's length, which they can, you know, when you're on a phone call, you can, that gives them the right, if they have you under investigation, they can investigate anybody who calls you. They can listen to that phone call. They can also listen to anybody that's around you, they can also surveil them. They can go too deep. Two, as in TWO. So let's say Steve Bannon calls Carter Page. Now Steve Bannon, I think, only had like one or two personal meetings with Trump. It wasn't like he was around him all the time. He was in the White House, don't get me wrong, but he might have got fired before or let go before, like 6 months into the administration. He wasn't there very long. Let's say that somebody next to Trump calls Carter Page. And then Carter Page is being surveilled. So that now the FBI can now surveil that person who called Carter Page and anybody else that person, let's say it's just person X calls Carter Page. Now anybody around person X, anybody person X calls, that person's phone is also being surveilled. Now, supposedly, that's as far as they can go. I doubt it. I doubt that's as far as it goes. But that's as far as they're supposed to go. So they can listen in. Let's say that person X now has a connection or talks to Trump on a daily basis or is a close person in the campaign. And now they've got direct access to, you know, and there's probably more than one of those people who talked to Carter Page. Carter Page was pretty heavily involved in the campaign. And so he's basically the stooge, unwittingly, not wittingly, Senator. Of course, now we've got Brennan coming out in the news again. Brennan's coming out saying, oh, this is the Russians destroyed the pipeline. It's obvious that the Russians destroyed it. We're supposed to believe these people. These are the same people. You realize Clapper and Brennan were two of the 50 people who came out, and or 51 or whatever it was, who came out and said that the Hunter laptop has all the earmarks of Russian disinformation. They didn't say it was. They said it has all the earmarks. Well, that's because you put the earmarks there. It's you're the one who decides what the earmarks are. So that's has all the earmarks of Russian disinformation. Really, let's just talk about what's on the laptop. Most people haven't got a clue. They haven't even heard about what's on. There's pictures of Hunter Biden smoking crack and messing around with women and children. There's emails that go on and on and on about inside information that only Hunter Biden would know. And supposedly, somehow, it's Russian disinformation. It's a Russian plot. That's great. That's rich. Speaking of Russia and the whole Hunter Biden thing, the Bobulinski is back in the news again. I guess he came back for a second interview with Tucker Carlson. And his information is, you know, the guy, I've listened to a few body language experts and some people who have kind of analyzed what the guy's saying. And, you know, is he being truthful? Is he being honest? He is. When I see the guy, now I'm more of a vocal guy. I can kind of tell when someone's talking whether they are being straight with me or not. Or especially when it's been recorded and I can listen to it a couple times. The obvious thing here is this guy is straight arrow in terms of what he's saying. He's remembering details and events and things that are, and the way he says it, and of course the body language experts say this guy is not making this stuff up at all. He's recalling it from memory. He's not even wavering or hesitating in his body language is just straightforward. Now either he's really good and he's been well trained to lie, or he's not lying. It's one of the two, and from what I can gather from this guy, everything I've looked up on Bobulinski, he's a legit guy. He's legitimate. He's not even a Republican. He's a Democrat. And he was involved with the Biden family. He was tight with, you know, Democrat people. And here he is. You know, he's doing business with the guy, doing business with Hunter and people around Hunter. The thing that the big thing that's now been determined, and this is why Bobulinski is so concerned, is that there was major fraud committed in the process of doing business with Hunter. And the FBI will not even look into that. Bobulinski there was a company that was on the original operating documents of the company that they had put together. And they went in verbatim with that same document and just basically whited out the one company and put in a different company, basically eliminating the one company that was legitimate within the whole thing. And it was prior to getting paid by the Chinese. Now, realistically, there was probably a lot more money coming in from the Chinese, or they actually already paid the money, or they were going to pay the money. They were trying to avoid having to share any of that money. So they switched the company within this operating document, within this organization, so that Hunter Biden had 100% interest in this other company that he put into place. So that he got all the money instead of just getting part of the money. He didn't have to spread the money out. He got all of it. Basically is what it amounted to. And it was attuned to the tune of $5 or $6 million. He didn't want to share any of that. So they just eliminated them. It's major fraud. And this is kind of why, I guess, Bob Alinsky's been burned. Let's put it that way. And that's why he's willing to come out. And, you know, you could say he's jilted. You could say he's got a vendetta here. Well, yeah. Okay. He doesn't seem mean-spirited, but he wants to get, he wants to get some kind of justice here. Now, getting back to the whole issue of the battle of the judges, this is just one more thing in the Department of Justice, the whole idea of the FBI being fair and not having a partial or partisan agenda. What we are seeing, American thought leaders had an interesting take on this. There's going to be, I'm not sure if it's actually going to be on YouTube or not, but they had a trailer on. It was like a 1-minute trailer. Epic Times, I really like them. I like that when they put out reports and stuff, but what I don't like is that you have to pay for their membership. And they tease you with this stuff on, Trevor Loudon's really good. He's occasionally got his show on YouTube. He'll put on his little show about communism and infiltration of socialism, collectivism really is what it is. And he'll put that stuff on and shows the ties to communist ideology. Kamala Harris has background of that. And Pete Buttigieg has a huge background of people in his life, his family, being involved deeply in communist ideology. The Marxist mentality, the collectivist mentality that happens and that's being introduced goes, it's diametrically opposed. Is that a word? Diametrically? Diametrically. It's directly opposed to the idea, the concept of our Constitution and how it's built on individual liberty. And this is why, in my opinion, this little trailer that was on about American thought leaders, this guy that's going to be interviewed, talks about the whole process. His question is, and he answers the question within the interview, but I didn't see the interview. The headline was, "Are we in a cold civil war?" I would call it that we are in a civil war of ideology. It's an ideological war right now that we are in, and there's basically two sides to it, two ideologies that are fighting against each other. The one side, I don't believe, even realizes that they have an ideology, that they're, it's almost as if they're by default, they're just passively going along and trying to, they're not sure what they're defending. The GOP certainly doesn't understand the concept of what they're supposed to be defending within the Constitution, the principles of the Constitution that they're trying to defend. Most of them don't. The conservatives and the constructionists, the originalists, they do. They understand. The establishment GOP just goes along with whatever talking point they need to say, whatever label they need to put on themselves. But in the meantime, they are big government, war hawk, establishment individuals. And it's all about the Republican Party. Now, they're all salivating about potentially winning the next election. They're secretly kind of happy about the fact that gas prices are going back up again, because that's, oh good, the gas prices are going back up. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about inflation and staying up there. Now, it is October, and there's always that October surprise stuff. Now, Nancy Pelosi was on, was it Jimmy Kimmel, wherever she was on, something recently, talking about how the House is going to win, and we're going to take back more seats. We're going to gain more seats in the House. Just saying it makes it so. And of course, the Republicans are saying, oh yeah, I can't wait to play that back over and over after the day after the election. I would not, these people, the end justifies the means, and there's no end to what they will end. These people have a death grip on power, and they realize that they cannot afford to lose power again. They are desperate, and desperate people do desperate things. I think that they would like to see us get into either a civil unrest situation. I wouldn't doubt that there was going to be some kind of a false flag or there's going to be some kind of organization that's going to do something stupid and they're going to capitalize on it. In other words, some group will come out and do something stupid. And of course, that'll pose the elections, or they'll have to postpone them. Now, this whole thing with, I'm surprised they didn't do this with the hurricane. However, I do believe they're going to try to do something in Florida with voting rights. Well, you know, that they haven't recovered from that, so we have to have mail-in voting again. We have to mail-in ballots, and the storm is too devastating, and it's going to ruin that's the whole purpose of the Electoral College, by the way, is in case there is a national disaster or some kind of a situation in one of the states, that it doesn't affect the entire country, so that affects the popular vote. It won't affect that as much. But they don't see it that way. They just want to. They're going to try to fight this. I'm sure they're going to try to make a deal out of the election time with voting rights in Florida. They're going to mess with the system down there and say, well, the Attorney General has to step in. Whatever they're going to do down there. I mean, it's now of course Ron. I think I'm not sure if the Attorney General in Florida is appointed or if they're voted in. But I'm pretty sure that they're on the same page with DeSantis down there. But you never know. And that's just locally. That's just within our nation. Now, what they're doing with this war in Ukraine, it's almost like the left is salivating over this idea that we could get into a world war. Well, then we got to postpone the elections. We're at war now. We can't have elections because we're at war. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what would happen. It's almost as if they want to see something like that happen. The people on the right, the Republicans, they love the idea that the economy is going bad and this helps their cause. They can't run on anything. You look at what McCarthy put out there. It's just a word salad. It's all, you know, hyperbole. And we're going to do this and we're going to do that. When he talks to you, he's talking down to you, by the way. There's this thing called upspeak, and there's something else called downtalk. And it's when Kevin McCarthy speaks, when he's addressing the American people, he is literally talking down to you. He thinks that he's talking to you as a parent talks to a child, or as a that's the way he's speaking. That's what he thinks of the American people, his constituents. It's disturbing to me. I do not like to be talked to like that. And it's demeaning. It's disrespectful. And some people think it comes across as kind. Oh, he's such a kind man. Well, yeah, talking to a three-year-old, it's nice that you can talk to a three-year-old like that. I'm not a three-year-old. So they're hoping to win by default. And they're going to go about, you know, you got McConnell. He's the one pushing for all this money going to Ukraine. No accountability. Republicans are voting against any kind of accountability. Rand Paul steps up and says, we want to have an account of where all this money's going. Nope, not going to even take that. Not even going to take that to the House. Not even going to put that on the floor. Republicans didn't even support it. Well, a bunch of them didn't support it. We just got to start throwing money over there. It's popular war. People are behind it, so we gotta look like we're supporting it. Gotta step into this flow of popularity. Amazing stuff. The one more thing I want to talk about, this is a total left turn. It was one of the things that the left will do. And I listened to Brandon Tatum this morning. He had a lot of his show, a lot of the segment that I watched anyway, had to do with Herschel Walker and what's going on. Actually, I think he's actually down here in Atlanta. or he's in Georgia. He's a representative here in Georgia. I can't remember if he's running for senator. I think it's the House representative, I believe. I can't remember what it is. But there, his son now, or it's obviously his son, and he's admitted to that. I guess that this is his son. But I don't know that he's admitted to. Now, what they're getting on him about, and what's interesting, I just heard Herschel Walker this morning was on the news this morning being interviewed by Brian Kilmeade. Now, this report by Brandon Tatum, I think, came out yesterday or last night, possibly. It might have been last night. Interestingly enough, Herschel Walker must listen to Brandon Tatum, or else he just came up with the same thing, because what Brandon Tatum suggested was that he just needs to come out, be straight, say that, hey, I've been redeemed since then. I was a rascal back in the day. He was a very popular person. I think he was a Heisman Trophy winner. And he was... probably going to be a Hall of Famer, probably. But, you know, back in the day, he was a celebrity. And those people have a tendency to be, if you're running around with very little morals, you don't have a devout Christian faith, you don't have any kind of moral pinnings. These people do wacky things. We've got women throwing themselves at them. It's not like he went out and forced himself on anybody necessarily. It's just these women who got pregnant by him probably got pregnant by more than one person. And probably don't even know for sure who they got pregnant by. I'm just saying, it takes two to tango. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, you had children and you didn't. You have four different children by four different women, or whatever it is. Yeah, and the woman was part of it. Let's not just throw the man under the bus, even though both people can be thrown under the bus here. They're both under the bus, unfortunately. You both did things wrong. The consequences of that live on forever. But to say that Herschel is somehow to blame for the whole thing, and he's the only one to blame, and of course now he's running for office, so they come out. Now his son has come out, I guess it's his son, apparently it's his son, has come out now and said that he's lying, and he really come out against him on this one little tweet that he did, or TikTok, or whatever it was he did. Obviously, I'm not going to talk about what his son, I guess it's Christian Walker is his name, obviously, Christian Walker has made some personal life choices that you could say he's probably on the woke side of things. He's obviously part of the alphabet community, and of course, he would be diametrically opposed. There's that word again, diametrically. I have to look that up, make sure I'm using it right, because I'm not an English teacher either. And so we have to wonder if any of these things are motivated by this political ideology that he's a part of in this, quote, civil ideological war that we're in. Now, things could escalate into a real, real kind of bad thing. But so they're after him. And of course, it's October. And here comes the attacks. Now, if you remember Brett Kavanaugh, all the other judges that have ever, all the things that have come out, been said and been, all the attacks that happen. That's all I need to say about that. Ridiculousness. All of a sudden people remember, 40 years ago you said this, you did that. I don't remember where it was or when it happened, but I know you did it. I was drunk and you did this. Oh. Yeah. All right, whatever. So those are kind of, those are the things that are happening this morning. I'm just going to, you know, I have to cut the show short here because I, you know, it's actually gone longer than I thought it would. I thought I only had about 20 minutes worth of material here, and I've talked for 40 minutes, which means about 20 minutes of what I've said probably had nothing to do with anything. It's just all filler. So hopefully you're listening to this in double time, squeezing out the good parts, if there are any. It's kind of like orange juice. You know, you end up with more weight in leftover stuff than you do in the juice itself. But the point here is that I'm trying to make, that is that it's Wednesday. That's the point I'm making. And it looks like it's going to be a bright and sunny day here in Atlanta, which is where I'm at. I don't know what it's doing where you are, but hopefully you're having a good day. Hopefully you will continue to pay attention to what's happening in the world and in our country. And now that I brought you up to speed and told you all the things you need to know, we'll see how this day unfolds. But in the meantime, we will pray for our nation, pray for each other, continue to ask for God's wisdom and guidance in the days ahead as a nation, and the ability to discern what's going on around us. I think that's going to be important in the days ahead, to really be able to see through with the light of truth, to shine the light of truth on everything that's happening, and to speak truth, God's truth, to those around us, everybody that we interact with, and to those in leadership around us as well. He's calling us to be leaders in some ways, and we need to understand what that means, to have the boldness and the courage to step up and live out the call he has on our lives. So I bless you, and thank you for listening. Thank you for watching whatever you're doing. If you're watching the phone, I don't know what you're doing. If you're going down the road, you're watching out for other traffic. Appreciate you listening, subscribing, sharing, whatever you're doing there with the podcast, downloading, all that stuff. Take care. God bless. Have a great day.